Run on over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue here with our what it takes to be a giant. And we're going to skip down to verse number 32. And then I want you to put a bookmarker there because this is going to be the second passage of Scripture that we read for our text. Once you have found Hebrews 11, put the bookmarker there, like we said. And we're going to turn to Galatians chapter number 2, where we're going to start reading in verse number 11. Not very often that we do two separate passages of Scripture for a text, but we felt it to be very appropriate for the sermon here today. Galatians chapter number 2. And even the sermon itself is going to be a little different. I'm not going to be giving you any fancy alliteration today. In other words, my points aren't all going to start with the same letter. But we're going to be dealing with people's names today instead. So once you have found Galatians chapter number 2, if you're able to, please join us in standing in the honor of reading our Father's holy word here. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 11. We'll read down through verse 14. The Bible says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" What happened was they had two separate tables, one Gentile, one Jew. The Gentiles eat anything they want, including bacon. Amen. Fifth food group right there. The Jews, however, they couldn't have no bacon. I don't understand why they'd want to be Jews or follow Judaism. They don't get no bacon. But they had these two separate tables, and it caused a problem. Peter was in the wrong for this. This literally takes place after Acts 15 and the Council of Jerusalem, where they have said that the Gentiles are just as welcome into the church as the Jews are. That salvation was literally meant by God for one and all. Peter, you're wrong here, Paul is telling him. Now flip over to Hebrews chapter 11, where we're going to read verse number 32. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." This will be our eighth sermon here on what it takes to be a giant. Our Father in heaven, I thank you, God, that like Jonah, you keep giving me extra chances. I thank you, God, that every time I stumble and fall, you don't come and stand over me with your boot on my throat telling me what a no good, sorry loser I am. Instead, you're right there with your hand extended, ready to pick me up. Oh, how I do not deserve it. But I thank you, God, that you do, and that you do pick me up every time. That's why you're God and I'm not. Because I tell you, I would leave me down there. But you are wonderful. And Father, as we look here at these individuals today, and we see something of a pattern, but it's a pattern that also reveals that much more about faith and how important faith in you is. And it blesses our hearts to know that we might fall, but you have prayed for our faith. You have strengthened us so that we can strengthen others. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help me now, please, to bring the word the way you'd have me to. In that glorious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, I do cry out, Abba, Father. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Can I call a spade here today? We're all human. We all make mistakes. And any church you're a part of, you're going to find someone who's human and they make mistakes. If you find someone who doesn't make mistakes, I want to introduce you to a liar because they make mistakes. Yeah. We look here and we see these men listed here in the Faith Hall of Fame, and our first thought is, man, they must be super men of faith. This is a wonderful thing. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes in order to be a giant Christian, we got to pick ourselves back up. Because we stumble, we fall. We do dumb things. We have accidents. We're human. But God still loves us. And we need to get back up again. We started off there in the book of Galatians talking about Peter and what happened with him there at Antioch and how it was causing a problem. And the Apostle Paul had to straighten Simon Peter out again. And it reminds us back there in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22, there in the upper room where our Savior, He's talking to the apostles, and Peter, who suffers from foot and mouth disease, sticks his foot in his mouth. Oh, Lord, I'll tell you right now, I'm 100% behind you, Jesus. Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's verse 31 and 32. You skip down to verse number 62, and we find that after the third time that Simon Peter has denied his Savior, after the third time that he has took there, and he finally decided to take and swear, I know not the man. The rooster crows for the second time. And Peter looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at Peter, and it breaks Peter's heart. I don't believe there was a mean look on Jesus' face at all. Just the look of, Peter, I tried hard to warn you, and you just wouldn't listen to me, brother. But there in verse 62 closes by saying that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Those two words, wept bitterly, when you look them up, you find it literally means that he had no more water to cry with. He had exhausted it all from crying for the last 3 days over what he had done and how his heart was absolutely broken. It was ripped out of him by his sin. And people will say, well, I guess Jesus fell a little short because after all, Peter did deny him. And here he is, he's weeping bitterly. I guess his faith wasn't that strong after all. No. The problem is Peter's flesh failed him. Not his faith. His faith had him go somewhere and cry for the next 3 days. Begging God for forgiveness. Begging God to restore him. To use him again. While Judas Iscariot, who quite frankly, betrayed Jesus as well. Only he did it for money. He didn't go cussing up a storm, but he did it for money. He even said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. But he went out and hung himself. There's no faith there. But Peter had enough faith to at least go out and weep bitterly. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Galatians, Peter was to blame. But a few years later, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter writes about his beloved brother Paul and his wisdom. The man literally took him out to the spiritual woodshed, and Peter said, "He's right. I was wrong." And so he encouraged his readers to also read Paul's letters, because there was going to be help there for him. There was going to be strength there for him. There was going to be meat there for them to dig in and grow their faith. Yeah, he failed. Yeah, he fell flat on his face, but got back up again. We come over here to Hebrews. These men that are listed here in the Faith Hall of Fame. Gideon. The Bible calls him a mighty man of valor. That's how the angel greeted him. "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." You know where Gideon was? Down in the wine press, threshing his wheat. The wine press is the lowest spot. You're not on top of the wine press. You're in the wine press. You're as low as you can go inside the earth, where grapes are supposed to be crushed for their juice. Threshing, you're supposed to be up there on the hilltop throwing it up in the air so as that the chaff gets blown away and the wheat comes down. He's in the opposite place that he's supposed to be. And yet he's a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor that twice, back to back, had to ask God for a sign. "Do you really mean for me to go? I need some blessed assurance that Jesus really is mine." And God gave him that sign both times. The fleece would be wet and the ground dry, and the next time the ground is soaking wet and the fleece is dry. Of course, it cost him getting those two signs, Brother Tim. Did you know that? Yeah. His army got pared down twice. From many thousands down to 300. And he's a man of faith? Well, yeah. God says he's a man of faith, because even though he questioned if God really was calling him, even though he stumbled out of the gate, God still says, "Gideon's a mighty man of valor. Gideon is a giant of faith." Barak. There's an interesting fella. There at the same time as the judge, Deborah. He gets a message from God. "I want you to put an army together and I want you to go out there and fight the enemy and deliver Israel." "Me? You got the wrong person, Jack." And so she has to come. Call him, say, "Barak, haven't you been told by God himself to get an army together and go fight?" "Well, yeah. Call me yellow." "Call me the yellow coward. I ain't going out there." "But you're supposed to go." She says, "Okay, fine, I'll go, but you have to go with me." This ain't our modern times here, church, where we've got women that set up in different places of government. We've got a female vice president. This is back a couple of years before women's lib. Sorry, this is history here. For a woman to be in such a position as she was, told the nation what great sin they were in, and for her to have to call on him, told him everything he needed to know about himself. He was wrong. He was in sin. He was neck deep in it, and he had to get out of it. And what does he do? "You come with me and I'll go." She says, "Okay, I'll go, but if I go, you won't even get the glory from it. A woman will get the glory from it." He says, "I don't care. Well, we will win the battle. That's all that matters." They won the battle. Another woman got the ultimate victory by killing Sisera. And yet, here he is in the Faith Hall of Fame. A doubting Thomas. A man who had to let a woman lead him. But yet, here in the Faith Hall of fame. By the way, for the record, while this is such a big deal, I don't see Daniel's name here in the Faith Hall of Fame. I don't see Shadrach, Meshach, and the Billy Goat's name here in the Faith Hall of Fame. I don't see Jeremiah's name here in the Faith Hall of Fame. Micah, Amos, Joel, Jonah, Elisha, Elijah. I don't see their names in the Faith Hall of Fame. But I see these men's names in the Faith Hall of Fame. That means they have faith more than we might want to give them credit for. Samson. Samson. You mean that womanizer is in the Faith Hall of Fame? All that he did, hanging out with prostitutes, hanging out with women from Philistine woman, I'll get it out eventually. One of the enemy, he's marrying them, he's hanging out with them, he's playing games with Delilah there. She's a Philistine. Oh, if you do this to my hair, you know, I'll be weak. If you bind me this way, I'll be weak. And finally he tells her, you've shaved my head, I'll be weak. Gets himself captured. That turkey is here in the Faith Hall of Fame. Why is he there? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Because God put him there. By the way, though, the majority of what we read about Samson there in the book of Judges takes place during the last 6 months of his life. But chapter 16 of Judges closes saying that he had judged Israel 20 years. He had been faithful. I understand that he lost his vision. Having temporarily gone blind from blood leaking into my eyes where I couldn't see, I get it, were you desperate enough to do a whole bunch of stuff? But he wanted revenge for the loss of his eyes. He wasn't asking God, please, Lord, give me one more feat of strength so I can show them that my God is the God, that my God rules over all. He says, give me more strength so I can be avenged for my eyes. He's a suicide. Yet here he is in the Faith Hall of Fame, church. You know why? Because he did have faith. He messed up. He did things he shouldn't have done. He said things he shouldn't have done. He was in places he shouldn't have been. But he had faith. 19 and a half years of true service to God. Thank God that when we sin something, God doesn't throw us out and say, forget it, that was one step too far, you're done. Just wait until you die. I don't want to talk to you anymore until you die. Good night. If that was the case, I'd have been gone a long time ago. But a suicide on top of it? Do you know that when Judges 16 closes, at the very next time we see Samson's name does not occur in the Old Testament? The very next time we see Samson's name does not occur in any of the Gospels, Acts, Romans, the Corinthians, the Paulinian letters? We don't know the author of Hebrews. I personally think it's Paul. I don't know. I got no proof. But it's literally from Judges 16 to here in Hebrews 11:32 before we see Samson's name again. That's God telling us no matter how far we've gone, no matter what we've done, He still loves us. So we don't have to throw our faith away just because we done messed up yet again. I know it's tempting. Oh, good night. I know it's tempting. We don't have to do it. Jephthah. I said earlier that Peter suffered from foot and mouth disease. Jephthah really did. Oh, my soul. God commissioned Jephthah to raise an army and go fight. He says, I'll tell you what, God, if you give me the victory in this battle, the first one that comes out of my house there to greet me when I come back in victory, I'm going to sacrifice that person to you. He goes out and gets the victory, and guess what? God says, okay, pay up. And his daughter, his only child, is the first one out the door to greet him. How do you go back on your vow to God with that? Your only child that you foolishly didn't bother to think about. Who all was at home he thought would be the first to come out and greet him? His wife, his kid, maybe some servants? The dog? Was he planning on sacrificing his dog if the dog was the first one that came out? Now, I'll be honest with you. He's here in the Faith Hall of Fame. I do not believe for one moment that he made her a burnt sacrifice. That'd kind of be the exact opposite of it, because God has never required any person to die as a burnt sacrifice. He tested Abraham with Isaac, but that was a test that he was not going to let Abraham go through with, because God doesn't do human sacrifices. The idols of this world do that. The false gods of this world do that. The faithless will gladly do it. Personally, I think that his daughter ended up becoming the first nun. She went out and she bewailed the fact she was never going to get married, never going to have any kids of her own. And I think she ended up having to go into work there at the tabernacle for the rest of her days. I can't prove it. I got no Bible on it. But I just know it cost Jephthah dearly. But when God told him, go raise an army and go fight, guess what? He raised an army and he went and fought. And he didn't go and fight against the rest of Israel. He went and fought against the enemy. Church, we need our faith to help us when we say something dumb, so that we can go out there and fight the real enemy, so we can go out there and get the real victories that God has got for us, so that we stop laying down there crying, woe is me, so that we stop with the pity parties, so that we stop letting the enemy whoop up on us there. We need to have faith. Because even though we have failed, we still can go forward for God. I told you last week, our journey through life is going to be us falling down, getting back up again, walking forward, falling back down again, picking ourselves back up again. That's what we have to do if we want to see success here at Faith Baptist Church. If we're not going to lock the doors and throw away the key, we don't need to come. But if we're going to, we're going to have moments where we mess up. We're going to have moments where we say dumb things. We're going to have moments when our brain just totally locks up and we're like, I don't know what to say. It's going to happen. Keep the faith. The next name here on our list is David. David. The more I study about this guy, the more I learn, the more I realize, and it's like, and this turkey is a man after God's own heart? What? Do you realize that when the kingdom was split and Judah followed David and the rest of the kingdom followed Ishbosheth, that after a while, Ishbosheth's general Abner, who saw his father Saul's general there, got to the point he was tired of Ishbosheth and he decided he was going to deliver the whole kingdom over to David, and he was working tirelessly to bring the kingdom to David, and because he had in the course of battle killed Joab, David's general, he had killed Joab's youngest brother there, and Joab had a bitter heart about it, and when he got the chance to ambush Abner, he killed Abner in cold blood. It was not war, it was deliberate murder, and the best David could do, this man after God's own heart, the best he could do about it was to curse future generations of Joab. Couldn't even arrest him. And yet David's a man after God's own heart. Last time I checked, God does still deal with being just, with bringing justice around. And yet here's David completely avoiding justice. We focus so much on Bathsheba getting Uriah drunk so maybe he'll go home and think the child's his. Killing Uriah when Uriah proved to be a better drunk than what David was sober. We think about that, but we forget about him letting Joab get away with murder. How about the census that David took later on in life? He got older, and his faith began to waver. And so he sent Joab out there to go and count how many were in Israel. He wasn't taking and finding out, well, how many people do we have in the nation so we know how prosperous God's been. No, that census was how many soldiers do we got in Israel, because I need to know how many are able to stand for Israel and fight in case we get invaded. And that was David putting his eyes on the arm of flesh instead of his eyes on God and faith. And that's why the destroyer came and ended up stopping there at the threshing floor of Anab. And they end up building the temple at that site. David, a man after God's own heart, and he did all that. He couldn't even rule his children properly when the one raped his half-sister and David did nothing about it. And David's a man after God's own heart. You know what I love about the Bible? Warts and all, God shows us the heroes of the faith. To remind us that if He lets these people into His kingdom, surely He will let us in as well. So our faith, even though we sin and we do things we shouldn't be doing, we omit things that we should be taking care of, God still says, I still love you. Have your faith in me and not in yourselves. Amen. And you can become a giant of faith. Some may be sitting here saying, well, you know what? I'm really not as bad as any of those people you've already talked about. Praise God for that. But you notice it's a little out of order. Gideon before Barak, when it's actually the other way around. Samuel is listed after David. Who's a preacher? Samuel? What do we read that was bad about Samuel? I mean, it wasn't his fault that, you know, Saul got to be picked the king, and it wasn't. But Samuel, when you study it out, he followed the course of Eli a little too much. You know, he'd been basically raised by Eli there in the temple, or not the temple, but the tabernacle. Eli was a bad dad. Eli was horrible with his boys. Samuel actually wasn't much better. It was because his boys grew up to be just like Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's boys. That's why the nation finally said, forget this, we want a king to rule over us. Because Samuel, eventually you're going to pass off the scene and we don't even want to be looking for the next guy that'll get the job done right. You've been a bad dad, Samuel, just give us a king. And sometimes, church, we end up being bad examples to the world there. Sometimes we show them the side of Christianity that they ought not to see, but we're human and we do make these mistakes there. But we have to remember our faith still needs for us to go forward. Our faith says don't keep focusing on that mistake. Get refocused on God and move forward for God. We say things, we do things, we assume people know what we're talking about, we assume this, we assume that, and we get in all sorts of trouble. These men all got into trouble, but they're all here in the Faith Hall of Fame. Failures, every last one of these. Wait. Okay, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. I wonder how him and Cain got along before then. Was that really the first time they'd had a disagreement? Or had they fought previously? I bet they were just like two brothers and they fought. Enoch. You know, most commentators believe that he really didn't even start to follow God until he was 75 years old when Methuselah was born. That it took the birth of that child before he finally started following God. Noah, he was a drunk. He just went through the flood and he started drinking after the flood. Abraham, oh, let's not forget about Hagar and that whole mess that's still going on to this day. Sarah, laughing at God, promising to give her a child by this time next year. Isaac, he favored Esau so much. Jacob had to connive and swindle his way to the promises and the blessings. Moses killed a man. Come down here. Where is it? By faith they passed through the Red Sea. That lot passed through the Red Sea by faith? They were just crying up a storm. You brought us out here to die. By faith they did this? Rahab perished not with them. She lied. She was a prostitute on top of it. How are they in the Faith Hall of Fame? Why do they deserve to be here? Well, because their faith is better than mine. Their faith was based in God. They understood what the writer of Proverbs 24:16 said, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." So when they make that mistake, they get it corrected. So that when God has to take it, whoop them, they get it corrected. And when they go turn around 2 minutes later and do the exact same thing again and get whooped yet again, they get it corrected yet again. By faith, they're here in the Faith Hall of Fame. By faith, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It ain't by works. It ain't by anything you've done. Praise God. He already factored in all of our mistakes. It already factored in the number of times we were going to sin. It already factored in the number of times we were going to be faithless. And He still saved us.
Right.
He still loved us enough to send Jesus to die on that cross of Calvary for us. He still thought so much of us, He even gave us the first ounce of faith so we could be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God."
Right.
Faith. We don't seek to fail. What we should do is, when we fall, seek to use our faith to get back up again. Yeah, I realize we're going to have times we are going to fall flat on our face. We are going to bloody our spiritual noses. We are going to cut ourselves up. We're going to be covered with bruises, break some spiritual bones. We're going to be hurting and in so much pain, the pain. But faith is what will help us to look past it all. To keep our eyes on the prize when everyone around us is disappointing us, when everyone says something that hurts our feelings, that crushes us beyond measure. It makes us want to quit and throw in the towel. Forget it. That's one time too many. Faith is what will throw the towel back in our faith so that we can go forward for Him. Don't give up just because you messed up. Learn from your mistakes.
Right.
Use it as a means to spur on new growth. As one reads the 11th chapter, we take note. I pointed out to you all the things that they did wrong. But take note. Not one of those things is recorded here in Hebrews 11. Because faith only sees the victories. Faith is sees when you go forward, not when you're trying to back up, not when you're laying there on the ground. Faith sees you getting back up and going forward for God. Faith's not going to record your failures. Spoiler alert. the judgment seat of Christ, not one of your sins will be dealt with there at the judgment seat of Christ. Because they were judged there on the cross of Calvary.
Right.
You die lost. Now there at the great white throne of judgment, every last sin you've done is going to be judged there. Because
right.
You didn't let it get judged at the cross of Calvary by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So here's the deal, church. I want everybody to keep in mind about Simon Peter. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You know, Simon Peter strengthened me today. Yeah, I know he's been dead almost 2,000 years. But he did. Because I read Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Because I read for myself over there in 2 Peter 3:15. As I did a little reading there in Mark, and we believe that Mark's principal source of information to write that gospel came from Peter. I've preached on Peter here today. He has strengthened me. Because I see if he failed and Jesus told him to his face what was going to happen, and he still failed and he still got the message from the angel there that God has said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. My faith says, yeah, if he can do that for Peter, he can do it for me. He did that for Peter. Let him do that for you. Each one of these did just that in their own time, even before Peter came along. And they're here in the Faith Hall of Fame. The Bible says that the books are one day going to be opened. How thick will our books be, church, when He looks at us and says, here's your list of faith. It's up to us, church. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to remind myself here today. Perhaps remind some others that are here today. If we'll just keep operating in faith, even when we fall, even when we shoot our mouths off, even when we don't do anything because, yeah, we weren't thinking about doing something. Through faith, we can get right back up and get moving forward again. Thank you, Father, for that. Help us, Lord, please, to be obedient to you, to follow your holy will. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen.